Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
To the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time as we come to you live over the internet.
Somewhat live.
On your smart device. We are live. We are not on FM 105.5 or AM 660, The Answer. The Tampa Rays are in the midst of a game today with the Seattle Mariners. And they're about halfway through the game, so there's a chance that some of our show toward the end, last hour or half hour or so, may actually be up on FM 105.5 and AM 660. But in the meantime, if you're listening to us now, that means you don't have to do a thing, because no matter what happens with the Rays, we'll be right here. You're either listening on AM660TheAnswer.com or your smart device because you've downloaded the free app. And we want to thank you very much for doing that. That means you're more dedicated, and we really appreciate that. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me today, once again, is the chairman of the board, that radio guy, Michael MacBath.
A swinging guy from South Jersey. I sound like Bill Clinton, don't I? Yeah. Loves all the chicks. You know?
That's right. Swinging guy from South Jersey who cannot carry a tune.
Oh, thanks a lot, buddy.
Unless you fold it up and put it in his pocket.
Thank you, bro. That was cute.
Nick LoCicero is on the bridge tonight. And, of course, it doesn't matter that we're not on the air. The phone number is still the same. So please feel free to call us. 407-774-8255 is that number. And we still have a few tickets for the Shriners Circus. So if you want some of those tickets, just call us up and give Nick your name and address and tell him how many tickets you want. And as long as we got them, you can have them. 407-774-8255, once again, is the number. And the Shrine Circus is coming up on the 20th, the 21st, and 22nd.
That's
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh,
yep.
Okay, I thought it was this. Oh, not this weekend, but next weekend.
The next weekend.
Oh, great.
Yep.
So, they're worth like $14, $16, aren't they?
$16 each, exactly.
And where is it going to be held specifically?
The Silver Spurs Rodeo Complex
down in Kissimmee.
Kissimmee, yep. Where they had it last year, and evidently it was a big success last year. They were able to have more acts and do a bigger performance because
right.
of the venue was larger
right.
than where they had been doing it. And the tickets are $16, and as long as it's within reason, you can have as many as you like. And like last night, somebody, I think, got six, somebody got nine, somebody got three.
Chris, if you've got a family, you're talking about saving your family $100.
And having a great afternoon or
morning. And a great time, and everybody as a family going out and watch. I just wonder, will there be elephants, Chris?
You'll have to go and see.
I know.
You want a couple?
No, I don't. Horses are enough. You know that.
You get your daughter down there doing some.
Oh, she would want them, I guarantee you. You know?
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, but there are several performances on Saturday and a couple on Sunday. And so Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And the tickets are good for any performance on any of the days.
That's a wonderful deal. I'd be crawling in if I was sitting out there. That's terrific.
It is compliments of our very own Dr. K, Dr. Ken Vihek. He, of course, is a Shriner. And the proceeds from the circus, from the tickets that they sell and the concessions and everything, go to support their efforts to support the Children's Hospital. So,
Chris, did you know they do the East-West Shrine game, too, the Shriners?
The football
East-West,
game?
Yeah, the football game.
Oh, no, that's right.
Yeah, that's always done in Tampa in early January. And it's actually, it's been around forever. Remember?
College All-Stars, right?
Long ago, it started in San Francisco.
I remember
I don't know if they get disgusted with San Francisco or whatever happened, but they're now being played out of Tampa. And it still survives. I mean, the premier game is the Senior Bowl. know, the one that's in Mobile. That's where you get your highest draft choices. But this is a pretty good, pretty strong game. And they seem to be surviving pretty well over in that Tampa area. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
And, of course, the Shriners Children's Hospital is a great organization that when they treat you there, there's no charge. There's no bill.
No, it's fabulous what they do for people. And if you walk through the hospital, you'll understand it too thoroughly. You know, I mean, it's really sad when you see what has happened to some of these individuals.
So that's the Shriner Circus, 20th, 21st, 22nd. The tickets are free for the asking. 407-774-8255 is the number. All right, some big numbers last night in West Virginia and Nebraska. Of course, we expected as much for Donald Trump. He got like over 70% in both primaries. But the big story out of last night, once again, though, was the burn. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders, people in West Virginia felt burnt by old Hillary and Obama and flocked to the burn himself, Bernie Sanders. And he had a huge victory over Hillary Clinton. It was about 16-point difference.
Yeah, you're talking, what was it, 51 to her 36.
Yeah,
and
15-point difference.
Yeah, but I don't think, a lot of people thought it would be relatively close, you know, maybe 52, 40, whatever. But that's a nice spread, and it also shows how unfavorable this woman is. But I do believe that she's going to lose Virginia. I believe all the connecting states. Bye bye.
Right,
and, she's gone.
Yeah, but see, I was wondering where'd the other 13% go, because 51 to 36, that's 87%.
I know, and they do this on all these election things. You know, you wonder, like, even with Trump, where's the other ones?
Well, like, with Trump, you can understand because you had Kasich. Still,
oh, I understand, but I'm just saying,
Cruz, because, like, in I think Nebraska, Cruz got like 9%. Right,
I this think was there a has state to be right. You know what it is?
Going to win.
They could be like write-ins or just somebody. Remember the guy?
Well,
that
must be something like none of the.
Or maybe that guy that originally ran the, you know, that other weirdo.
Oh yeah, what was his name again?
Yeah, he might have. They never just took him off the ballot. So people who don't like either of them. Probably marked
you're,
that.
You're probably right.
You know what I mean?
You're probably right. But it still goes to show that they're not, if they're not for Bernie, they weren't going for Hillary. And her problem is the exit polling last night from West Virginia now showed that almost half of Bernie's supporters from last night will vote for Trump if he doesn't get the nomination. So I think you can put West Virginia in the win column for Trump.
I think
that's
so too,
pretty
right?
Safe bet. But it's a bad harbinger for her because these are people who have once again been affected dramatically by the devastation that these liberals have done to the coal industry with their global warming.
The
BS.
EPA has just been, and their rules and regulations have just been horrific.
Obama's promised to, you know, put the coal industry out of business. He's made good on. They're all in bankruptcy right now. And of course, Hillary bragging at the debate recently that, we're going to put the coal industry out of business and all those coal miners are going to be out of jobs. Of course, now she's scurrying around saying, well, what I really meant to say was they're going to have new jobs that we're going to train them for. I mean, what?
I mean, Chris, how could you be that stupid?
What else is there to do in West Virginia?
No, I know. I mean,
like I said the other night, there's ginseng, the sang, as they call it, and there's coal. So I guess we're going to take the coal miners and send them out in the woods looking for sang.
And you can't be a dentist there because there's no teeth.
Well, it's I guess they could grow reefer. I guess maybe they could do that, too. But there ain't much else to do in West Virginia.
I'll tell you, Penn State, we used to always play University of West Virginia at West Virginia. And it's like you're going from civilization. And as you wind in through there, you're going, where am I
back
going?
Back in time.
You know?
You're going,
I know,
back
like
in
this.
Time.
What is it, 1910 or something, you know?
And it was
insane.
You know, the people that live there love it. I mean, they love that.
It's a beautiful place.
And more power to them. And they know they got tough jobs there. But look, these coal mining jobs, they pay really good. These are six-figure jobs.
And we keep a grudge, too, thank God. She just has zero chance. Just erase it, man. You're done.
But
you know?
The problem for her, though, is, of course, the coal industry is not confined to one state. Right?
Right. That's why I say Kentucky leans into them. Ohio leans into them. And certainly Western Pennsylvania leaves into, you know, West Virginia. I think the University of West Virginia is only about an hour ride from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, right.
So, you know, you just walked in over the Pittsburgh side, which used to be real strong Democrat. You got a real problem, Hillary, fortunately.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's right. It's that Rust Belt. Watch
That's
that
exactly
Rust Belt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan also, because they've lost a lot of jobs in Michigan and Wisconsin.
And production.
Due to the free trade, quote-unquote, deals. And these people feel burned by it, and they are not at all happy with the present administration. And that's why you got a coal miner union endorsing
Donald Trump.
Yeah, and you're going to see more of that. And especially if he begins to develop momentum in the polls against Hillary, you're going to see them start, I believe, flood to him. And the prospects of what you've said before on the show several times of a landslide victory for Trump may be developing before our very eyes. Last night it's got to be a shocker for the
Clinton
campaign.
A little bit of a preview.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this also means that Bernie Sanders is going to continue to be a burr under her saddle, right?
Yep.
And he's going to be, you know, a drain on her resources. And he's promising to keep this up right on through California into the convention, which means she will not be able to focus her attention on Trump until after the convention, which is after the Republican convention in July.
It would
so,
be.
So, go Bernie.
Wouldn't you be depressed, though, that he's actually won 10 of the last 15? Even though I was ahead, I would certainly realize that my momentum is hitting rock bottom here.
Other people are beginning to notice, too. Let's just say that.
You know?
Especially after last night. Not this that she won. I mean, that she lost. Yes, she lost. But she lost so hugely, right?
Well, she lost big time.
And this is a state where 8 years ago she won every single county and district.
I mean, can you imagine what a disaster, but what a statement she made? I mean, well, it was just so ignorant.
What a statement they made.
Yeah, and also what they did implement. It's not just the statement. The people suffered tremendously from Obama and the EPA. They just wiped them out.
And people are suffering all over the place. And if it's not because of the attack on the coal industry, it's because of Obamacare or the attack on whatever industry, right?
You got it.
All right, let's take a break. We come back, we'll continue the conversation. 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll go over our contest rules again, too. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you ever so much for listening, because if you can hear us right now, it means you are a dedicated listener, and we really, really do appreciate you. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, if the Rays wrap up the game before we go off the air or the internet tonight, we'll certainly let you know. But if you're listening to us right now, you're in a good spot, and you don't need to go anywhere. Unless you want to, of course. But in the meantime, we got a lot more to talk about here. We were talking about some of the results from last night. It was a big night for Bernie Sanders. Hillary did win in Nebraska, but that was nobody's.
Yeah,
what?
Who cares?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the story is what happened in West Virginia, and Donald Trump dominated, of course, in both states. He picked up enough delegates now that he's over 1,100. As many as 1,119.
I just can't wait till Hugh Hewitt gets back, Chris, and maybe we could have him call in and discuss how he did his math.
Yeah, how he
because
got to.
Because we seem to be way ahead of time. You are way off. Hope you enjoyed your vacation.
Yeah, so he needs.
He needs refreshment, that's for sure.
Yeah, really. Trump, on the other hand, needs only 118 more delegates, and he'll probably pick those up in California alone. Plus, there's another half dozen or states yet to go, and Oregon's yet to vote, Washington's yet to vote, and several other states. But the bottom line is he's going to get the required 1,237. There's now no question about that. He'll be well over it, and it will be done on the first ballot. And he says he's down now to five candidates for the VP spot, and I didn't know, but Mike came in telling me that he's going to hold out on us.
Yeah, he said he's not going to, you know, put forth the name of the individual until we get to the convention, which I just believe, you know what an anxious, hyper guy he is. I would have to believe if he knows who it really is, he wants to say it. And if he can hold back, okay. But do you wonder, would it be smart, though, putting it out early, except that we'll make the convention exciting?
I was just going to say, he might end up doing what we're doing and having a VP contest.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Give some money, you know, give a $10 donation, and the winner gets $1,000 or something like that.
Get some Rocky music and have somebody walk down the steps who we announced with American flags behind them.
That's right.
I love it. The public would love it.
Now, we don't have $1,000, but we do have some prizes to give away. And
that's
what
exactly
we're
right.
Is we've got a VP contest of our own going on. Actually, B. Brian Blair threw the gauntlet down on this one last Friday. If you would like to make a guess as to who Trump's VP will be, and that guess will be yours exclusively, no one else will be able to take that individual's name for their guess, and that person comes up the winner, you will be the winner. And you'll have the opportunity to you'll be invited to have dinner with us at Cafe Positano, along with B. Brian Blair. And we'll throw in a T-shirt and some bumper stickers, and we'll make it a sweet deal for you. And
is Joni Ernst down there yet?
Joni Ernst? Yeah. No, she's not.
Remember the fighter pilot woman? That's a very well-spoken
that's
Republican.
Right. Yeah, no, she's not down there. We do have two contestants who have... one named Condoleezza Rice.
Mm-hmm.
That was Joey. And James.
I'd love to see that, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I could be wrong.
You never know. James has chosen Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama. Now, he has let on that Chris Christie is one of the final five.
But it just about seems obvious it's Christie, somewhat obvious, I should say. Obvious, but sort of like obvious.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I mean, I love how he's a hatchet man. I mean, he could just rip Hillary right and left.
But I would have him as
Attorney General.
Attorney General, yeah,
right.
Replace Loretta Lynch and cut him loose on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just think he would be just a wild man going after these people.
You see, one of the nice things about assuming that Trump gets elected. One of the nice things about Loretta Lynch not indicting Hillary Clinton, assuming she doesn't, that means the case, the investigation remains open, right? Or could be reopened. In other words, there's been no determination of guilt or innocence, so there's no problem with double jeopardy or anything like that. So they could go in there and say, hey, look, you know, we got some new information. We're going to reopen this here investigation. And we'll start from the beginning. We'll subpoena Hillary Clinton. We'll call a grand jury, and we'll do this here thing right this time.
Well, you know, Trump stated he's going to try.
He said he would.
Yeah. So the point would be he had to incorporate that into his actual platform. Because I think he would. I mean, that alone, I'd vote for the guy if you just get her into court and try her. You know.
Let's just say that in October. The administration announces that there'll be no indictment against Hillary Clinton.
Well, you're going to see anger.
I wouldn't put it past Trump to say, oh, yes, there will be. You elect me, and we'll get this thing here done.
We'll get votes on that, Chris. Well, I guarantee you that'll turn votes. Well, I mean, women are so fed up with Hillary, too. Don't think this is a man thing. Every woman I talk to, they just despise what's going on with this lady.
Exactly. So anyway, if you want to get in on that contest, we only have two entries so far, so the door is wide open.
Wow.
And, of course, the regular phone number is where you can get in on that contest. And tomorrow night we got another contest. We'll tell you about the rules for that in a minute. But I wouldn't put it past him to be able to hold that decision or the name until the convention.
He says he is. And
because he's already said he wants the convention. He doesn't want the convention to be your run-of-the-mill, boring, dull convention that nobody wants to watch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to make an exciting, entertaining event that people will want to see.
Now, how are we going to keep all the radicals out? I mean, what do you do? Just put a safe area or something? Put a cage up and then throw them in the cage?
If they do it at all like they did in Tampa 4 years ago,
right,
they will not be able to get within a half a mile.
Right. That's how it should be. Don't even come close. Go ruin your own deal.
They basically set up that area of Tampa around the convention center last year like Iraq. I mean, you had concrete barriers. You had three checkpoints you had to get through in your vehicle before you could get to the parking garage. You had dogs. You had the equipment where they looked under your car. And there were protesters there, but they could get nowhere near the complex.
It discourages them too, which I like.
It did. Yeah.
The countryside. Into the sunset. Yeah, exactly. Have a good day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they were a non-factor. And I believe they'll be they'll be protesters, but they'll be across town.
Right.
So wherever you live in Cleveland, if you're not near the convention center, get yourself a gun. Be ready, right? All right. We'll be right back.
Be Dirty Harry.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight. All right, we got a contest coming up tomorrow night. I just told you about the one with the VP contest coming up.
They have a great opportunity on this VP one. And another one I'm going to ask you has not been submitted, right? If I had to bet now, I'm going to go Newt Gingrich.
He's a good possibility. You know, if I were picking, I would actually, I think, make Newt my chief of staff. But
right.
I would, because chief of staff is usually actually a little closer.
Yeah, he can manipulate around and move the politicians.
The chief of staff has a lot more to do with who the president sees than anybody else, right?
Right.
So, but he would certainly have a key role. But his name has definitely been kicked around. And by the way, Gingrich is one of the few that Trump went to a little over a year ago and
He counseled with him, and he said,
"Do you think I got a chance?"
Yeah, and I like the fact that Gingrich is, I call, a hawk, and he's a guy I've always thought had great ideas. He's an innovator, and I think it's a match made in heaven. But like you said, maybe chief of staff might be better. But I think I'm going to bet he's in the top five.
I bet he is too, and he fits the bill of what Trump said that he was looking for, and that is a political person who knows his way around.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He knows everybody.
And is able to help get the legislation that he wants passed.
He's not a crook.
And he's
not that we know of. Who knows what goes on up there at night, right?
All right, but Mike, he's ineligible, so if you want to call in and take Newt Gingrich as your entry, you're free to do so. And if Trump's good and to his word and he holds back until the convention, well, then that's when we'll find out who the winner is. And if he somehow announces before then, surprises everybody,
this is a great deal.
In the contest.
You get dinner. There's no cap on the price, so I could have 10 martinis if I win.
You won't win.
I'm out. That's right. Boy, if I was somebody, I'd get on the phones.
Yeah, it'll be anything they want from the menu, and we'll buy a drink or two, but we can't, go down too far that road. But
so do you think Joni Ernst?
Anything you want?
Do you think
the menu.
Joni Ernst is a far away shot, or do you think she might be number six?
I don't think she fits the bill. Legislation.
That's right.
But the contest tomorrow night now is our wall art contest, right?
Now, this is a creative contest. Again, we know how smart, and that's probably the right word, our people are that listen to this show. So we were going to firstly make it, you just put whatever words you want on the wall. But now we're going for pictures, diagrams, whatever.
Right.
And remember, we're going to give you a northern wall besides a southern wall. So now, those guys from Syria coming in, you might have a little response for them. Now, my response to our good friends crossing in from Central America and Mexico is hasta la vista, baby. So, in other words, come up with your phrase, your picture, your diagram, whatever you want.
Yeah, I see.
And there'll be obviously nice prizes for that, and it should be a pretty active contest.
See, I came up with something.
Oh, here we go.
I wanted to do the visual and the words, the audio too, so to speak. So I came up with this, and I kind of took a little inspiration from you, you know, the used the movie line, right? Hasta la vista, Schwarzenegger. So I came up with one that you would have, you'd have sitting on a horse would be Donald Trump. Now he'd look like Pancho Villa, right?
Oh,
except
that'd be
it'd
good.
Be Trump.
I like it.
You know,
yeah.
The sombrero on his back.
That's right,
not on his head, but on his back.
Yeah. With his hair showing.
Exactly. Yeah. And he'd have a bandolier on with the bullets in it
everything. Like the cross deal. Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe holding a Winchester. And he'd be saying, go ahead. Make my day.
That's good, too. I mean, we got two, Hollywood people idea. That's great. You know?
So that's
very good. Arnold and Clint.
Yeah, you can
make my day.
You can make a stencil of, but you know, put these all along the way.
Boy, this is going to be a good contest with these two ideas. I like that. So
that's what we're looking for tomorrow night. And you'll be playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry and Jana Shepherd. Jerry's MB, the greatest place to take your MB, your Mercedes-Benz. They will really take great care of you and that car over there. And you'll also get a My Liberty Threads T-shirt. And we still got about a dozen or so yet to go of those Liar Liar Pantsuit on Fire
bumper
stickers.
Yep, I have one on my car.
Yeah.
And it's brought a great deal of response. No, actually, very positive, very positive. Uh-oh. Look.
All right. Whoa, we got another contestant here on the line. Hold on. Let me get my list out here. All right. Let's go to Tim now from Castleberry. Tim, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, but you're trying to sell Mike Gingrich before I could call in, so I had to stop.
No, you get it. If you claim it, it's yours. I cannot enter the contest. I just like his style.
I like Newt Gingrich.
Too, I do, too.
So I would go with him.
All right. Newt Gingrich.
I'd say he's a real good shot at this, too.
Your choice? I'd be surprised if he's not in the top five anyway. I mean,
I would be. I'd be shocked.
Final five or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, we were talking before the show, though, when Mike told me that that Trump said today that he wasn't going to announce it until the convention, and I'm sitting there going, maybe he'll have like an episode of The Apprentice on there, you know, without the five contestants, right?
You're hired instead of fired, you know.
Well, the convention goes 4 days, right? You can eliminate four in four
That's
days.
That's true.
That would be hilarious.
You'd have a good spoof. You know?
It would be hilarious. It would be... it would get the ratings like nothing else.
The media wouldn't like it, Chris. You know, they're a bunch of sour pusses.
And that might be the best reason.
Which would get them more ratings, right? Yeah.
But Newt Gingrich, I would, you know, vice president, chief of staff, somewhere close to Trump. I would love to see that.
Yep.
I think he'll be VP, though.
All right. Well,
no, I think he's close.
Yeah, you're definitely in. You're definitely in. Hey, we missed you the other day at the taco eating contest.
Yeah. It'll be a while before I'm out and about, but I'll do the best I can with it.
Yeah, your leg doing all right?
It just takes a long time for it to get back to where it should be.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. So. Well, you take care of it, and we're going to have another contest over at Positano.
Tim, you missed some great tacos. I mean,
I bet.
We had like 12 of them in there competing head-to-head.
I couldn't believe.
What was it, 14 that won?
No, he ate 12 and a half.
12 and a half. Wow.
Yeah.
I listened, but I just went hungry.
Yeah, he just wasn't ready to go and take his position. You know?
Okay, Tim, but you are in with Newt Gingrich.
All right, great.
Appreciate
you so much. All right,
Tim,
get yours ready for tomorrow for the wall. You know,
there's your
wall art.
We think you'll come up with a good one, so we'll see.
All right. You take care. All right. Okay. All right. Well, that's it. When he got the three.
See, he was smart. He knows that when we flip back on the air, this is not going to sit here idle. There's going to be a lot more calls, because if there's just three of them in there right now that win all these prizes, wow.
I might
be calling from home.
You know, Condoleezza Rice is a long shot.
I think we know
that's a long shot.
Yeah,
but I'd be surprised if both Jeff Sessions and Newt Gingrich aren't on the final list. Because they both fit.
They know their way through. They've been around.
And they've both been supporters of Trump
from the beginning.
On.
Right.
That's right. From the beginning. That's right. So
you don't think Ben Carson would be anywhere in the top five?
He says he doesn't want it.
It's not a reflection
on him. He's on the committee looking into these people. But he says that he thinks he would be too much of a distraction. And once again, he doesn't fit the bill of what Trump said he
wanted.
You see, and I think Trump is going to look for somebody that has legislative experience, either at the state level at being a governor, or at the federal level being a senator or a congressperson.
Ben's
like
Ben's
going to
get something, right? Like maybe Surgeon General.
Oh, yeah. Trump's already made it very clear.
Wouldn't mind seeing him in education.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's where I thought Trump was leaning when, if you remember back when it was announced that Carson was endorsing Donald Trump.
Right.
They held that news conference, mm-hmm. and Trump said, I can see him heading up education over there or something.
No, I think he'd be terrific going around to the inner cities and helping them out, which they need years and years of help.
So. Right. And some people might say, well, why wouldn't you have him do Obamacare or something like that?
He would throw up.
Well, but he's that's not really
that's,
just
is,
because
this
he's
is a
doctor,
financial thing too,
exactly.
Right? This is a financial thing. It's not a doctor, medicine, surgery type.
Correct.
Thing. Right.
Correct.
Different game. You need a finance individual.
You need people who understand
the whole industry,
the
insurance, and the
exactly.
finances, and the competition, and everything else.
Now he could be an advisor or something like that. But I think education would be ideal for him. But I do think there'll be a place for him in the administration, no question about that.
How about Rosie O'Donnell anywhere? Yeah, there's a place for her. It's going to be Canada, right? She'll be the vice president of Canada. You can announce her as that.
That's right. Speaking of Canada, mm-hmm. did you hear about the new online dating service? That is
you refreshed me on that a little bit earlier.
Matching people up who want to leave the United States if Donald Trump becomes the president and want to go to Canada, they will match you up with a Canadian up there if you're a single man or a single woman, with all the LGB whatever TV things, I mean,
you know, like Rosie O'Grady.
Whatever you are, they've got somebody for you in Canada if you want to get out of the United States.
I wonder, is Barnum and Bailey still up in Canada? Because maybe Rosie, when she said she's leaving, right? So she's as good as gone. Maybe she can match up with the last remaining elephant. You know what I mean? But I don't think the elephant would want to date her.
No, this is actually a byline, WFTV. That's right here in Orlando. Dating website matches Americans escaping Trump with Canadians. That's right. You have the option now.
Wouldn't it be neat if they were all Syrians that were just come in, migrant, and they don't tell you?
Well,
how's your date going? He doesn't speak English.
In another story that you might want to weigh with this story is that with the rise in people participating in these online dating sites, mm-hmm. you also have a rise in, guess?
I'd say bad stuff.
STDs.
Oh, well. Hey, villages, here we come, right? You know what I mean? I mean, whenever you get a lot of people together, what do you think is going to happen? You know? And you know what?
Just because you meet them on the website doesn't mean that.
They need a health check. You know?
That's right.
Like in the old days, you check people's teeth.
There are ways of preventing that, if you know what I mean. But, I mean, if you're going to go looking where a lot of people are looking, you might want to figure that there's a lot of things going on there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So just because. You might meet that right Canadian. Just make sure you got your protection anyway.
I can imagine the ones that are in the lineup, right? That would be great.
Oh,
you know?
Boy, yes.
Abdul the Tool.
The girls from the Klondike, right?
Yeah, right. That's right. Alaskan women who have just come back after 40 years in Alaska. You know,
the missing links, right?
That would be great. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Sasquatch.
Yeah. The abominable snowman. That would be great. A lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
That was smart of Tim calling in, though. He's really, Tim, you used your head. But I mean, there's now three in there. This is the latest contest I've seen only because of circumstances, but you know, he could walk out with big time dinner.
Well, we'll have a full roster of them, I'm sure, before it's all over. Yeah, that goes without saying, but Newt Gingrich, I think, would make either a good VP or good chief of staff. When Trump says he wants the convention to be exciting, he's talking about having, like, entertainers there.
No, I would like to see that, honestly, because who wants to see a bunch of boring people talk? I mean, we all get it. We know what the platform should be. Trump, you're the man. Tell us where you want to go, and then what do we do?
I believe what they're going to do, too, is they'll have a theme to it. And, of course, the theme we already know, Make America Great Again.
Right.
And if you combine entertainers, live entertainment with videos, a few speeches that are rip-roaring speeches, shall we say, not of the boring type.
Right.
And you put all that together and culminate it with Trump getting out there doing one of his,
I can see the Rocky, themes and all that being a big part of this.
I can
pump America up.
I can see a convention that's going to make the Democrat convention, especially when you consider they're going to parade out all the same old sappy,
God, Elizabeth, Pocahontas.
The girl who doesn't get paid as much as the guy in her office.
Right.
And of course, we never get the full story that she only worked there 2 years and he worked there 10.
He has a college degree and she doesn't.
Right.
We never told the whole story, right?
Yeah, and we'll get all the sad sacks and we'll get all the sappy stuff and everything.
Imagine how depressing that convention will be.
And his is going to be the exact opposite.
I know. It's going to be fun and exciting.
And uplifting.
Yep.
I believe it's going to kick off the campaign season in style, the general campaign season.
Hillary might be smarter, just turn herself into the government. Just end all this and get out of your misery, Hillary. Turn yourself in.
Get yourself a nice, quiet prison cell, right?
Go back and read some books, okay?
That's it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got another segment of this hour. We got another full hour of the show to go. If you'd like to get your contest entry in, who's going to be Trump's VP? We'll take those throughout the show today. Please stay with us. All right, keep them separated. Welcome back to the show, folks, where we separate fact from fiction and myths from the truth. All right. Speaking of shows, Nicholas Cicero's got his own show, and he's got to do it tonight, right, Nick?
Yeah, very excited. Another edition of WDW News Tonight, the only radio show that's dedicated to all the Walt Disney and all the Walt Disney World and Disney news and everything. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We have some guests in the studio. And they are the creators of a new play called The Animatronicans. And it is a play about four Walt Disney World animatronics actually being real and living in a house outside Walt Disney World and then having to go to work each day at Disney World.
You mean they're robots who work there or people who play robots who work there?
I don't know. We're gonna find that out. I think they're supposed to be real people, but we will find out. We will find out tonight.
All right.
It's a sitcom. It's a comedy play coming to the Fringe Festival, which comes to Orlando each and every year.
Yeah, that's this coming up soon.
I think it might even start next week. So we're gonna have a few of the we're gonna have the writer and some of the actors in the studio tonight with us. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, we're going to play WDWNT, the math game. So we're going to give you some numbers from around Walt Disney World, make you do some math for some prizes from our sponsor, Theme Park Connection. People love that one for some reason.
I have a question for you today.
Yeah.
Disney stock dropped 4 points.
Plummeted,
put that in your math game.
Yeah, sure.
And that's one of the reasons why?
ESPN.
Shanghai. Oh,
well,
ESPN, yeah.
Yeah, they had that. But the ESPN revenues were down.
Right, and the subscription revenues were off.
And the theme park revenues were down,
right,
too. And
their movies, I guess, are doing well.
Very well.
That's what's like holding them up. But really, the stock's been a disaster this year. The high was up around 120. And, so right now we're at about 102.
Yeah.
So, Okay, Nick, you got to sell some more product for him, buddy.
We do. But no, it's
and maybe you can be the guy.
Well,
you know?
I'm sure you keep track of it. You know, I think a lot of it's to do with them dumping a lot of money into building the Shanghai Park, and it's not open yet, so no revenue's coming in.
No, I think what's hurting them has been this ESPN thing is becoming a real drain on them. You know, because they're losing big time revenues. You notice that there's got Mike Tirico's leaving.
Yeah.
Now that Skip guy's leaving. And the reason they're leaving, they act like they're just leaving because they want to. I think they got to be slowly laying people off because they're not getting the advertising revenue.
That's what it is. They're not. Yep, yeah,
I think they're just saying bye bye.
And they closed their video game division yesterday as well.
Oh, nice!
Really?
Not happy about that. But anyway,
when and where?
Yeah, we're on tonight, 9 to 11 p.m. Every Wednesday night over at 1520 WBZW or online at listen.wdwnt.com, and you could even watch us there on video.
That's right.
You know, you've done a great job. Maybe they should hire Nick, you know, I mean, to be the spokesman for Disney.
Hey, speaking of that, I was watching, you know, this little thing with Cruise yesterday made it all over the news, right?
Right.
Where he was being interviewed by the Bette girls. And one of the girls asked him, you know, is there any way you can get back in this thing? And what did he say? If circumstances change,
I might come back.
So anyway, I forget what I was watching last night. I think it was O'Reilly or one of them. Anyway, they showed actually. I didn't know this, but I guess if you're subscribed to his network, that you see them, you can watch them do the show as well as hear them. And it looked like they were in a studio, not a radio studio, but like a set, like you would see like a TV show, okay, which I presume they use for their TV show. Anyway, they were sitting on a couch, and there's the big guy himself sitting there with this sort of goofy-looking grin on his face. And then he's talking to one of his main guys. I hate to say it, but the guy looked like that guy Michael Moore's brother or something.
Oh no, you mean a glutton?
And let's just say he was dressed like he was ready for radio, but not TV.
Yeah, okay, we got it.
But he was on TV.
Yeah, right? Big mistake.
And they don't use microphones like we're using here.
Right.
They had these headset microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked so very odd. It was like he was kicked back on his couch at home. They're talking to Ted Cruz. He's dressed like he just got out of bed, not shaved or anything like that. And I'm going, no wonder they're going broke.
Oh, I was going to say, if they knew they were going to be on TV and the guy dressed it.
Well, evidently they're always on, I guess.
Oh, but what a slob.
Like Nick, when Nick does his show, they're... And we had the head cam, which we're going to work back into our routine here.
They are always on TV, and they are always in that studio, and actually the quality of the radio show suffers from that a little bit, too.
Are they all slobs, or is this guy just an exception?
I don't know. Well, that's the first time I saw it.
I know, Nick. Have you ever watched it?
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know. It probably was either Pat or Stu.
Yeah, and I don't know which one was which, and it was the first time I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And they didn't say their names, but I kind of recognized the voices, but I couldn't really put it. But it, you're right. I think it takes away from the quality of the show.
Oh, I do too. And I mean, you got to put on at least a reasonable image. I mean, how do you like your image? You're a fat slob glutton. Oh, that's great. That looks great.
I don't know. It just, I wished I hadn't seen it.
Let's just put it that way. It ruined your perception of the show from now on, boy. I'm not even going to ever go look the show up. So.
Thanks, Nick. That's tonight, WDW News, 1520 WBZW. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Gentlemen, thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. I am Christopher Hart. We are live. 407-774-8255 is the number. In the studio with me now is still the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. And we also now have in the studio with us one of our taco-eating tournament judges, Stephen Gushoff of the Legal Immigrants for America. Stephen, you just get out of the pokey or something? I see you still got on the same shirt you were wearing that night.
Well, I got such rave reviews for my Mike Tyson T-shirt and Trump Las Vegas cap that I figure I'm going to try to go 2 for 2 here.
I love that hat.
I mean, he styles and profiles wherever we go, Chris.
You know? Next time you go to Vegas, I'm going to give you some bucks so you can get me
all
one
right.
of them hats.
Well, we're going to be back there in July, so all soon right. enough we're going to be out there.
I want to get me
now,
one
what
of those
hotel
hats.
Are you staying at, Steve?
Well, we actually...
The Bellagio?
Well, last time I was there, we were at the MGM Grand, but we visited the Trump Tower while we were there, or the Trump International Hotel.
Have you been in the Bellagio?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, we have one of our
quite a place.
NFL conventions, though, at the Paris.
I've stayed
and,
at the Paris.
Which is across
very,
the street.
Nice. Yeah,
very,
very
nice place.
Yeah.
We've had a number of times out there, and who did I see? Oh, the Raiders.
Might be moving.
Are moving. They're contemplating moving to Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah. Which I'm not sure. What do you think?
I think it would be a great move. I mean, Vegas doesn't have any professional sports teams. In major leagues, they got minor league baseball.
Do they have a stadium, though?
No, they would build. Well, they do, well, they've got the University of Nevada at Las
Vegas.
That's not going to work.
UNLV.
That's like the Rams playing at Memorial Coliseum for a year.
What's the population in that area?
I don't know. I don't know what the population is, but it's like. You know, part of the deal is they would build a new billion-dollar stadium. But, you know, any team that's moving has to do that. The Rams are doing that.
Right.
And so I think they would do well just because, look, you know, pro sports is such a motivator, you know, a motivating influence of the economy out there.
They'll keep the hotels moving and
they'll
keep everything
exciting. They'll be moving 60,000 people per game.
Yeah.
I think they'll do very, very well out there.
You know, if they can get the city or somebody to pay for the stadium.
The state is apparently going to pony up some money.
Yeah,
you know,
they
I
do
bet
that.
The state in Nevada will do it.
That might be worth a shot because if it doesn't work out.
I think they'll move out there. I can totally see that.
Yeah. All right. Before we get rocking and rolling here, by the way, real quick, does Al Davis' family still own the team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mark Davis, his son.
Mark Davis is the guy that runs the team.
Right.
Yep. I remember back with big Ben Davison, the defensive end for them, and all those. The Raiders back in the late 60s and early 70s was the most awesome team, in my opinion, in the NFL.
Kenny Stabler.
Darryl LaMonica. And Gene Upshaw.
Yep. Yeah, Lyle Elzado.
They had that great rivalry with the Chiefs, too. Remember?
Right. Every time they play. I mean, I'd even watch the game. And it was just going, wow, this is really great. And
you had Hank Stram
that was
on one sideline.
Right.
And what's his face?
John
on,
Madden.
Madden,
that's exactly right. You know,
you thought Madden looked like he was going to have a heart attack every game, the way he would stomp around and waving his arms and
right.
stuff.
I remember the Chiefs. Football. We played the Chiefs one time. And you would line up, right? And you're a defensive lineman, so you would think that you would be bigger in the offensive line. I look up, and there's Fred Urbanis, the tight end. He's like 265 with one eye. The tackle was Jim Tyer. He was like 6'8", 310.
Yeah.
And this was back then. And I'm going, boy, something's backwards here. Maybe that's why they were the best.
All right. In the last hour of the show, Bessie got some tickets to the Shriners Circus, along with some other folks. If you would like some tickets to the Shriners Circus, just give us a call at 407-774-8255. Give Nick your name and address and the number of tickets that you would like, and we will get them in the mail to you so that you have them for the performance on the 20th, 21st, or 22nd, because the tickets are good for any performance on those days. And these tickets cost $16, but they're yours for the asking. Absolutely free. It is also free to join LIFA, Legal Immigrants for America. You can simply do that by going to golifa.com. That's golifa.com. But, of course, they are a nonprofit organization. And, of course, they'd love for you to help them out. And they got a couple of special offers going right now for, I think it's $25. They'll get a Bible. I mean a book, the Bible and immigration.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got a couple of offers. We have, number one, if you go on our website at golifa.com, golifa.com, you can order our new book, The Bible and Immigration. We're selling lots of copies of it. It's gotten lots of great reviews. And so if you want to know what the Bible truly says about immigration, and the responsibilities of the immigrant, the government, and the Christian, buy this book. Buy lots of copies because you should read it, your pastor should read it, your fellow church members and neighbors and family and political activists should all read this because so many of those on the left, so many pastors and church leaders and ministry leaders on the left don't get it right. That's the problem.
Real quick, now, for a $25 donation, they'll get one free.
Absolutely.
But if they want to buy them, how much do they cost?
$10 each, yeah. Okay. They'll get one for free for $25, but if they want to order more than that, then, yeah, they're $10 each after that.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. All right. And it is an excellent book, and it's full of scripture. It's the Bible and immigration. It's scriptures out of the Bible having to do with this issue.
Exactly. It's not my opinion or what I think
about
that's
what's great
it. It's
about
based
this.
On Bible verses. This is what God says. You know, God considered borders important enough for the promised land. Okay? He told them that they needed borders around the promised land. Well, that's good enough for the U.S. and Mexico then, too.
If you don't have borders, you don't have a promised land.
You don't have a
right?
promised land, let alone a United States or Mexico.
It's just any old land.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you know, things like borders, you know, respect for the law, for civil government. And I say to pastors all the time, I'm very hard with pastors on the left. I say, look, if you are enabling illegal immigrants
you're
to come into this
problem.
Country, you're part of this problem. You're enabling sin from a biblical standpoint, and you're enabling crime. So what other crimes will you enable beyond illegal immigration? What other ones? Tell me. Let us know so we can protect ourselves.
Right.
They tend to be very quiet.
I know the answer to that, our national debt. I mean, this is just draining this country. I saw some more figures the other day, Chris. And now we got a massive amount, am I not wrong, Steve, from Central America crossing over into the United States right now in the last few months, like record amounts, and mostly from Central America.
Because they know they can get away with it. They know the border is Swiss cheese. There was just an article I saw yesterday online where illegal immigrants receive more welfare benefits and social benefits than legal immigrants do.
Yeah, that's right. And illegal immigrant children get better social programs and better care than our own children do.
$12 billion a year. $12 billion with a B is what it costs in the U.S. to pay for the primary and secondary school education for the children of illegal immigrants. $12 billion a year.
The other thing, Steve.
That's coming from us, my friends. That's coming from all of us.
And rising.
And think
about this. All these people that are in their 40s and 30s, wait till you retire. Do you think that's going to help your Social Security position or your Medicare position or anything? You know, if this isn't stopped, oh, well.
It's only going to get worse. Yeah. That's why we keep saying that's why this election is so important.
Okay, now, you had another offer, though, you were talking about. For a $25 Ooh. Donation, you get a copy of the book, The Bible and Immigration. And for $10, you can get additional copies, but there's another offer.
Absolutely. If you want to give us a $25 donation but put a couple of extra zeros after the $25, have we got a deal for you. We also have an offer where you can have the use of this gorgeous three-bedroom, three-bath, completely furnished condominium in Ponce Inlet, Florida. It overlooks a par 3 golf course in the Atlantic Ocean. And if you would like to have that condo for a week for your own use, a donation of $2,500 to LIFA gets it to you for 1 week's time. And so we're already starting to get some phone calls, people wanting to reserve weeks. And so if you'd like to help LIFA out, help us fight illegal immigration, fight amnesty, help to defund sanctuary cities, and you'd love to have the use of this gorgeous condo, three-bedroom, three-bath in Ponce Inlet, Florida for a week, then you can just contact LIFA. And you make a donation, $2,500, and it's yours. We have several different weeks. We have about six different weeks available.
I was going to ask, can people name their week?
We have to check specifically on the weeks, but if they have a preference, we can definitely work with people to try to
get it. Is it on the water, Steve?
Yeah, it's right on the Atlantic
Ocean. Right on the water?
Yeah. And overlooking a golf course in the Atlantic Ocean.
Great fishing, actually, if they are a fisherman.
Gorgeous down there.
Where is it again?
Ponce Inlet, just south of Daytona Beach.
Okay.
Just south of Daytona Beach. Very, very nice. And so we have that offer. So $25 will get you a copy of the Bible and Immigration. $2,500 will get you a week at a gorgeous three-bedroom, three-bath condo in Ponce Inlet.
I bet you even throw in a copy of the book with that, too.
We definitely will. Absolutely. Yeah, maybe even a couple.
Boat,
yeah. We'll even autograph them.
But you have several weeks, so
absolutely.
Even if somebody wanted to go 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So, we have several weeks available, and so people can go right online. Just go to the Contact Us page at golifa.com. And you can ask us a question. The phone number is there as well if you want to talk to me directly about it. However, you know, people want to communicate. And we'll work with you. Absolutely. And so we're talking to people, and people are interested. And so, you know, it's like people from the north, you know, from Boston or New York or Chicago that might want to come down here next winter, let's say they don't even want to do it right away, yeah, we'll be happy to work with them to work.
How many bedrooms is this, Steve?
3-bedroom, 3-bath, completely furnished.
Very nice size.
Yeah. That's Mike, you can have your next NFL convention.
The place would not last by the time they get
there. You might incur more than $2,500 in repair.
Yeah,
costs.
You would see that place floating down the ocean. You know?
But these are great offers, and of course, people can donate any amount.
Absolutely.
And it's at golifa.com. And if you want to get alerts and things like that, you can text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445, 53445. And they'll put you on the list for updates. And Steve writes great articles, and they put other articles up on there. It's just a wealth of information about illegal immigration and the problems that we're facing with illegal immigration and the different shall we say, faces of illegal immigration, because there are the illegal immigrants who come across the border, and then there are the illegal immigrants who come here originally with a visa or a green card and just overstay.
Overstay, absolutely. They're both problems. And speaking of problems, too, I don't know, you probably saw recently, I'm sure you did, when a bunch of Trump supporters were pepper sprayed out in Anaheim, California.
That, yeah.
We know one of the guys that was pepper sprayed. There's a wonderful guy out there in California. Raul Rodriguez is his name. He's a friend of LIFA. He runs a wonderful organization called America First Latinos, a very conservative pro-legal immigration group. They work very closely with the Remembrance Project, and Trump is very supportive of the Remembrance Project. That's the project that remembers all the Americans that were killed by illegal immigrants. He was one of the guys pepper sprayed by those goons, those anti-Trump goons in Anaheim. I'm watching on Fox News. I'm seeing these people pepper spraying children and adults and Trump supporters. And it's like, wait a minute. I know that guy. I sent him an email. He said, yeah, that's me. I had to go to the hospital afterwards to
Was anyone arrested?
I don't even know. Who knows? I think so, but it's California. They probably patted him on the head and sent him home with a sandwich.
Steve, did you see in the news today? I don't know how they're expanding Sanctuary City in San Francisco, even trying to make it bigger,
Florida's,
and more inclusive. Yeah. Is that disgusting?
Well, Florida's just as bad. I mean, that's why it was an atrocity that House Bill 675 was killed by the Republicans in the Florida Senate, because that would have defunded sanctuary cities and counties, and there's about a dozen of them. People can read about them on GoLifa.com in Florida. As bad as it is in California, it's just as bad in Florida. People forget that, and that's why we've been working hard to lobby for this bill, and hopefully it'll pass next session. But boy, are we mad at the Republicans more than the Democrats, because the Republicans killed that in the Florida Senate.
Why would they do that?
Because they give lip service against illegal immigration, but they get a lot of funding from big business organizations who want illegal immigrants so they can pay them cheap labor. You know, and so they'll say, yes, 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 we're against illegal immigration,
and
then they just do nothing to get it passed.
And you have a lot of them who are afraid that if they were to pass such a bill, it would be political, you know, poison for them with the amount of Hispanics we have here in the state of Florida. But what they don't understand is the Hispanics who are here legally see it as a problem, too.
Are going to vote for them. Absolutely.
Yeah, by the way, they also did the same thing with some gun laws.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the Republicans. What can you do with them? What can you do without them? I don't know, but we're going to find out, right?
They're going to find out if they keep acting like that, what
come
we
November.
Can do without them. Right. That's for sure.
All right, we're going to take a break. Of course, Steve's going to be here the whole hour. If you have any questions for him or comments, 407-774-8255 is the number while he's here. But golifa.com is the website. That's for legal immigrants for America. Golifa.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you for being out there. We really appreciate it. All right, we've still got Steve Gushov of the Legal Immigrants for America with us here tonight, and he'll be back again next week. But, you know, we've been talking about this illegal immigration thing here and the cost, you know, to our society in terms of money. But you also started talking about, in the last segment, the Remembrance.
The Remembrance Project. Yeah, there's a wonderful group, and we're affiliated with them. It's called We the People Rising is the actual name of the group, and they sponsor the Remembrance Project. Now, people probably know what the Remembrance Project is. You've seen it on TV. Donald Trump has been a huge supporter of it, where it's to remember, to honor the memories of Americans who have been killed by illegal immigrants. Kate Steinle, obviously, is the greatest example of that. And so the Remembrance Project has created these large banners, and they've been at various Donald Trump events and even other events, rallies of their own. They've been on Capitol Hill. And it's photos and information about every person, the hundreds of people across this nation that have been killed by illegal immigrants. And so when we were out in California a couple months ago, they hosted a wonderful event for Legal Immigrants for America in Apple Valley, California, not too far from San Bernardino, where the massacre was in December.
Right.
And we talked to them, and we had a wonderful conversation with them and with Raul Rodriguez and his group as well. And they said to us, they said, Steve and Jim and Paula, help us. We're here in California. We are surrounded by illegal immigrants and enemies as well, because, you know, it's California.
Right.
It might as well be part of Mexico at this point.
Certainly southern
and
so, part.
And you see the damage because – and that's why immigration is such an important issue in this election, because immigration affects everything else. It affects jobs. It affects economy. It affects national security. And that's why Trump has resonated. Immigration would not even be an issue in this election but for Donald Trump. No one else brought it up.
Yeah, no, these other politicians wouldn't have touched it.
Never would have touched it with a 10-foot pole, basically.
No, of course, the Democrats wouldn't have any reason to, except to push for more, you know, open border type stuff.
More everything.
And
yeah.
the Republicans wouldn't want to make it an issue because they were afraid to upset the Hispanics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And... But here's the funny thing is Donald Trump got the most support of Republican Hispanics throughout the primaries. You had two other Hispanic candidates. I mean, you had Rubio and Cruz, two other Hispanic candidates.
More than
attractive candidates in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
And Trump got more Hispanic Republican votes than either of them.
Right. Steve, is that a Kate Steinle situation? Is that bill finished, or are they trying to redo it or whatever?
Same thing. It's the same problem, whether it's Florida or California or nationwide, where even, you know, the U.S. Senate, it's the same problem, where the U.S. Senate doesn't want to pass it. They tried to attach it to some
bill,
knowing that Obama would veto it. Well, what are you doing that for unless you don't want to see it passed?
Right.
These are the type of shenanigans that they pull in Washington and Tallahassee and every place else, and that's why so many people are in as much of an uproar with the Republican Party as they are the Democrat Party.
Right.
You know the Democrats aren't going to go for this. You know what their colors are. The Republicans say, yes, 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 we think that's a great idea, and then they do nothing
to get it through, they shrink into the sunset, which is terrible.
Look, Mike, you played for the Bills. You know what it's like. It's like if you got the ball at the end of the game and you're leading, what do? You run out the clock.
You got it.
That's what they did in the Florida Senate. They ran out the clock so it couldn't get passed.
Terrible.
And this, as you said, this is going on all over the country. Real quick, you mentioned the San Bernardino terrorists. I don't think anybody's really made anything of this, but wasn't the female, wasn't she here illegally?
Well, she was here not so much illegally as it was a sham marriage visa. She was here on a fiance visa.
Yeah, but didn't she lie on her applications
and
stuff?
That's what made it a sham.
Okay,
and so
I see.
It's like she was brought over here to terrorize. That was the bottom line.
Right.
So, and that's another thing that we're lobbying hard for is sham marriages because, like, she's the first of many, basically, because it's very easy to get a fiance visa. And you come over, you lovey-dovey, you know everybody's story, and then, bang, you slaughter 14 people in San Bernardino. And so that was a sham marriage, and that's something that ISIS is going to take advantage of. It's that simple. That's why they're recruiting so many young women in Europe in particular to come over and join them to get them married, and particularly, you know, if they're white and Anglo-Saxon and don't look like they would hurt a fly, they want to try to get them over here to kill more Americans.
Right.
And so that's another issue that we're lobbying on, sham marriages, because it's so easy to get that visa and come over here and destroy more Americans.
Well, you know, of course, Trump has said he wants a temporary ban on Muslims coming to this country. And I thought it was rich that here the brand new mayor of London comes out, and he was a Muslim.
Right.
And he comes out chastising Donald Trump. Unbelievable,
I know. I mean, what audacity, but what are there, 2 million Muslims in London?
I've been to London many times.
It's all over.
All of Western Europe, London, Paris, you know, all of Germany. When you have Bruni on, she talks a lot about, you know, what it's like in Germany now. It's true, but go to Dearborn, Michigan. I mean, it's the same thing,
right?
You know, in Dearborn, Michigan and other places. But you're right, because it's interesting. I wrote an article on golifa.com the day after the Paris attacks back on November 13th, saying that we need to ban Muslim immigration in this country.
Yeah.
And then Trump came out with his thing about 3 weeks after that.
Right.
And he's right. And what people have to understand is that this is not a constitutional issue. Right. This is not a religious liberty issue. This is a national security issue. The president has the right. He has the legislative right to sign a bill, you know, prohibiting any group of people he wants from entering this nation. FDR did it. You know, he prohibited Germans and Japanese and Italians from coming to the USA during World War II. FDR, a liberal Democrat, did that. It was good enough for him. We got to do it today as well.
So we don't need Congress.
The president can do it by himself.
I like that.
That's the way Roosevelt did it.
Yep.
All right, we have to take a break. It's a hard break. When we come back, Steve will still be with us, and we'll continue the discussion. Once again, you can join LIFA by simply going to golifa.com. You can sign up there, or you can text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. That's golifa.com or LIFA to 53445. And don't forget, if you make a $25 donation, you'll get a great book that Steve has put together called The Bible and Immigration. And if you want to make a vacation and a donation and do it all at one time, you can donate to $2,500 to LIFA and choose a week that you would like to spend at the... All right, welcome back to the show. By the way, that is our dear friend Mark Merrow, and we look forward to having him back on the show sometime coming up soon. But just found out today that coming up here in about a month, he's going to have heart surgery. So I'd like y'all folks to please let's keep Mark Merrow in our prayers. He's doing God's work out there. He's going around to schools all over the country, talking to students, middle school, high school level mostly, about bullying, both physical bullying and cyberbullying, and doing everything that he can to prevent our children from succumbing to bullying or doing it. And he's a great guy, and so let's just please do keep him in our prayers. Steve Gushoff, once again, is here from Legal Immigrants for America, golifa.com. And Steve is a lawyer himself. And so, Steve, and you've been on the show before in another capacity with the Liberty Council talking about legal cases and things. There's, of course, this big immigration case that the Supreme Court heard the arguments to recently. First of all, we've got obviously a diminished court, so to speak, in terms of it's an 8-member panel of judges now instead of 9. And it appears as though that case, at least in terms of the questioning, which, of course, you know as well as I do, that that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But it looks as though that case is going to break along political party lines. Is that the feeling you're getting from it? And remind folks of the case that I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, because it's basically all the states going after Obama. You know, over all of his amnesty, you know, program more than anything else.
Yeah.
And so it's wound its way to the Supreme Court. And now, again, with Scalia's death, you've got 8, you know, justices on the bench, and it may go 4-4, which means nothing happens at that point.
Good.
But that would actually be good.
That's helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Because
but
that means that the lower court ruling would remain in
which
place.
Which stays. Right. Absolutely.
Which is put a halt to the government
knocks out amnesty in many, many ways. Yeah. Now, the only thing is, it's like, you know, if you want to lose a lot of money, bet on the Supreme Court in terms of doing what you think they're going to do. And so I have no faith in the Supreme Court that they're going to do the right thing. I hope they do, absolutely, and knock out amnesty. But it's like, boy, that court has just let down people so many times in the past. Yeah, and so I don't know. I can't predict which way it's going to go.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we can rely on Bader Ginsburg, Kagan, Sotomayor, and who's the fourth liberal? Breyer? Is he still on there?
Yeah, but what's Roberts going to do? What's Kennedy going to do?
Well, I was going to say,
I mean, that's the problem. We
can pretty much count on the liberals voting to uphold the Obama
administration. It could go 6-2 the wrong way.
That's what I mean. You got John Roberts and Anthony Kennedy who are wishy-washy.
Exactly. So I don't trust them as far as you can throw them in terms of they're going to do the right thing. They may. I mean, who knows? It's just it's up in the air. There's no way of predicting.
Now that Scalia is gone, and I think a lot of people thought that he was probably the most rigid constitutionalist and perhaps the most conservative on the bench, who would you say would fill that bill now of the remaining justices?
Clarence Thomas would, but I'll give you a name, someone that I really hope, you know, if Trump gets elected, I'll give you a name of someone that I hope he appoints to replace Scalia, Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Cruz would be great on the Supreme Court.
I think he would be, too.
To see Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court.
We have kicked the idea around on the show.
Either that or Attorney General.
Numerous times. You know, I thought, you remember that one debate where, I forget which one it was, but they asked Trump who he might appoint to the Supreme Court, and he threw out a couple of names. If I were him that night, I would have turned around, looked at it, and pointed at Cruz and go, him!
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
That would instill terror in the minds of all the liberals, wouldn't it?
I think it's a great move.
I would
have
just loved to see the look on Cruz's face when he did that, right?
Ted would accept in 3 seconds.
You think he would?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Look at all
because he's
the
been
guff
asked.
He's going up against.
He was asked. Now, this was while he was still running.
Yeah.
And he kind of acted like he didn't really want it.
Yeah. Well, it's like no one says they want to be vice president either. But as soon as they ask, it's like, yeah, I'll take it.
Right,
you know. And
right,
so it's like, of course, if you're running for president, you're not going to tell people you want to be on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But now that he's not running for president, if Trump gets elected and decides to tap him, you know, for the position, I think it's a great, great selection.
Do you think he could get confirmed?
I don't know. He's made a lot of enemies over there in the
that
Senate.
Would be a real
That's
war.
The one problem. That's
well,
the only issue.
They might want to put him on the court just to get rid of him.
Exactly.
Though,
yeah. Well, that's a good point. You may have Mitch McConnell and the others being quite enthusiastic.
The quicker we get him out of here, right?
I think he'd be great on the Supreme Court. Absolutely. Yeah. Chris Christie would probably do a decent job. I mean, I think between those two, you know, you're going to see those two as like AG and Supreme Court pick, if I had to guess, you know, in a Trump administration.
Well, that would be very strong, don't you think?
What's that?
That'd be great for us.
Absolutely. That's a strong
for
team.
The conservatives.
Well,
oh, boy.
You know, at least with Cruz, you would have a staunch conservative on the bench who's not, you can count on his vote.
He would be reliable as a replacement for Scalia. It's that simple.
Right.
You really wouldn't have any issue with that. I think he'd be a great pick. I hope Trump does that if he gets in.
All right. Well, we'll find out, of course. But the case itself, we'll get a decision or non-decision before the end of the session, which is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah,
right?
The end of June is always the end of the session. So within 6 weeks, let's say, you know, there'll be a decision out. And again, I have no way of knowing what they're going to do. I really don't, because people ask me that all the time. What are they going to do? Are they going to do the right thing or are they going to do the wrong thing? I'm pessimistic when it comes to the Supreme Court. They've let down conservatives way too many times. And so I'm more pessimistic than optimistic, but you just never know.
Well, given the way this campaign is shaping up, should the Supreme Court do what you fear and either come down 5-3 or 6-2 in favor of the Obama administration, guess who I think that would help tremendously?
Yeah, because let Hillary try to defend that.
Yeah.
Let Hillary try to defend that at that point. You know, because all it does is feed into the argument that Hillary is just a third term of Obama,
which she's making herself.
Exactly.
I mean, she's trying to kind of have it both ways.
See, here's the problem for Hillary. You're absolutely right, Chris, where she's trying to do that because she needs to co-opt Bernie Sanders and his supporters. So she's moving to the left because in 2008, Obama beat her by being further to the left than Hillary was.
Right.
So she's not going to make that mistake again. She's going further to the left. Well, that's going to come back to haunt her in the general election. And so you're right. If this election, I mean, if this Supreme Court decision goes the wrong way, let her try to defend that. That's just another great point for Trump to pound on against her if it goes the wrong way.
I don't even think she'd have to have anything to do with it. Just the decision itself, I think, would inflame a lot of passions on the conservative side, which would drive once again the momentum and the enthusiasm.
Yeah, no, that
for
would
Trump.
Help the voters, boy. They see what happens.
Well,
when
but
the
she's so
Supreme
beholden
is...
to the far left now. She has to defend it.
She would, yeah.
That's the thing. She's basically
Trump
trapped
would be,
in a corner.
And because Trump would be out there attacking it vehemently, that she would feel, you know, the necessity to go after him on that. She would actually think that would be a weakness for her.
Well, I think it would be because, again, it's
what
like...
What I mean is she would think that it would be a weakness in Trump for her, or in other words, an opportunity for her to beat him.
But again, it's her moving to the far left. Because, you know, when we look at, we travel from here to California and back, and, you know, people see, you know, the cost of illegal immigration in this nation, again, in jobs, in the economy, in security, in all these different ways, basically. And people are coming around to what Trump is saying. And it's nothing against immigrants per se. Again, we're legal immigrants for America. We just want people to do it the legal way. And legal immigrants are the ones who are most opposed to illegal immigration. We see that all over the nation. And so that's why Trump's message resounds and resonates all across the nation. And, you know, I mean, we're getting invited back to a lot of these places. I mean, we're going to be in Illinois in June. We get 4 Tea Party groups throughout the state of Illinois we're speaking to. In July, we're going to be out in Las Vegas at Freedom Fest. We're going to be an exhibitor there. And we'll probably be speaking to other Las Vegas area tea parties as well. No one ever believes me when I say that I'm out in Las Vegas on business, but it's a business trip. Then we're going to be in Washington
Steve, not the way you're dressing.
I'll wear my Vegas hat next time.
That's like trying to convince the customs people you were in South America on business, right?
Exactly, yeah, or Cuba. Yeah, exactly. What are those cigars you have? Yeah.
Steve, all these illegal immigrants, do they go on immediate Medicaid or something when they come in?
Of course, they get free Obamacare.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely.
I mean, imagine
what
that
bill. What do you want,
bill?
Man? You get whatever you want. Absolutely.
Terrible.
And who's paying for it?
Right.
They're not paying for it. You and I.
You got it.
See, now the taxpayers are waking up now. That's the thing, because all of a sudden this is a back-breaking burden, and the taxpayers can't handle it anymore. And Obama wants to bring in more. He wants to bring in more, you know, illegal immigrants and pat them on the head and give them so much more free stuff. He wants to bring in hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees at this point. We know that the terrorists are hidden among them, among the Syrian refugees, no different than they were in Paris or in Brussels. And somebody's got to pay for all these people coming in. Somebody's going to pay for their free cell phones and their free Obamacare and their free welfare and their free government benefits and everything else. Are they paying for it? Nope. Three of us are, my friends, and everybody else that's a law-abiding, God-fearing American taxpayer is paying for it. And people are getting sick of it.
Steve, there was an article published today on Obamacare, and they estimate in 2016 the average American per person will pay about $600 per person.
People are paying that now.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Per month.
Per month.
Like
when I say 600, that's per month. And they also pointed out that 10 years ago, or back in 2010, they estimated the cost, you know, would be like $2,800. That's over $4,300 now.
Yeah.
I mean, they never get anything right.
No, they
Nothing's ever right.
But they lie about the numbers.
And they lie.
It
was just done, and we were sold a story by a bunch of Democratic liars.
Exactly. I mean, look, this is no different than John Kerry and the Obama administration lying about Iran, saying they're a bunch of moderates over there.
Right.
There's no such thing as a moderate in Iran. It doesn't exist. That type of person doesn't exist, but they lied. They fessed up to it. But you know what? They got it done, basically. So,
what do you think about these liberals now that are coming out and basically laughing in people's faces about lying and getting away with it?
Yeah.
You just referred to the Iran deal and with Ben Rhodes. Then there was, I guess, on Charlie Rose last night, there were three of Obama's speechwriters on there laughing about the line, who came up with the line, if you like your insurance, you'll be able to keep it, because they knew that was a lie.
Yeah.
And then if you remember back, you had Jonathan Gruber,
our professor.
Who was talking about, you know, the Obamacare
financial
and some people were so stupid and all of this. But now they're just seem to be having a big laugh on all of us.
The utter arrogance is just astounding, because it's basically they're admitting, yeah, we pulled one over on you, and what are you going to do about it? Ha, ha, ha.
That's about,
jokes on you.
Yeah, it's like when we were kids, we'd wrestle, and you'd get the one guy down, and you'd grab him by the nose and tweak his nose, you know, just to sort of...
And you just rub it in at that point.
That's what
you're
it
just
is.
Laughing.
It's the humiliation factor. And, of course, they get away with it. And
the only way you punish them, I guess, is get them out of office. I mean, isn't there a way to – I mean, this is actually – I call a con job of the highest nature.
Look, it, Obama should have been impeached for
treason.
But the Republicans are too cowardly to do it.
That's it.
He should have been impeached. It's
Trump, that simple. I know. I'm as fed up as anybody.
Well, and it's too late now. You're just going to let them run off the clock.
And the Republican elites are running around wondering how Trump got let loose, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hello.
Can you figure that out?
Yep.
But you know this. The Ben Rhodes thing, though. When the story broke, the media who was taken. I mean, the story with Ben Rhodes was that he was lying to the media, who then lied to us. And the reason he did it is because he knew they were a bunch of ignoramuses. And so it all comes out. He does not deny it. He's good for it and everything. But he's not the one the media's mad at. The media's mad at the person who revealed that it actually happened.
Well, because they look foolish. But look, it's the media. It's the lamestream media, as Sarah Palin likes to say. They lap up anything Obama or any of his lackeys say like a cat with a saucer full of cream. Of course they're going to repeat it, and they're going to project it as the truth. So now they look mad because they look bad at this point. Oh, wow, surprise, surprise. And they wonder why no one watches the news anymore. or right. listens to it.
Yeah, but I will say this about Rhodes is that what he said about the media was true, and that is that, and I believe I pointed this out on the show a number of times, is that we don't have any of the old guard in the media anymore, at least not in the White House core, right? They're all gone. And you have all these young people there who don't know anything. They're all stupid. They're all a bunch of liberals, so they don't care to know anything anyway. And so they're just there as a bunch of mouthpieces for the liberal propaganda.
Well, because they tend to be very liberal anyway.
Right.
So what
I mean,
they're reporting is what they support
right.
as well. You know, so in that regard, it's like they're very happy to just repeat whatever Obama or his spokespeople are saying to them.
Yeah, and they do that very well.
Very well.
Well, now you understand why the public just despises the media. I mean,
absolutely.
Even the media, how can they let this go on? Because all of us know one part of life is usually the longer you're on Earth and all the experiences you have. During that Iranian deal, I would bet that most older individuals, 55, 60 years old, who had good business experience in the military, went like this. This is garbage. This is just garbage.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess we got to vote them out. I don't know.
Well, on Fox and you know, conservative media channels and outlets,
right.
you did have the wiser people saying this is stupid.
This is the dumbest thing you ever saw.
We had Abe Katzman on
right.
our show.
Disaster.
There are no such things as moderates in Iran. I don't know how many times he said that. He wrote an article about that very
right.
thing when Rouhani was elected. Remember that?
Yep.
That the media was all praise Rouhani. Oh, the bad guy, Ahmadinejad, is gone. Rouhani's here. He's a moderate. Abe Katzman wrote an article. Mm-hmm. There are no moderates in Iran. Well,
Netanyahu said the same thing forever.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
he's in the thick of it right over there.
Yep. All right. Okay.
Great.
We'll take one more break. When we come back, we got another segment of the show. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. GoLifa.com is the website to find Legal Immigrants for America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. The American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, Steve Gushoff of the Liberty Council. Oh, whoops. I'm sorry, Steve.
Whoops.
Legal Immigrants for America. We were talking about that court case. Well, the Legal Immigrants for America. Steve is now the
Executive Director
of Legal Immigrants for America. And by the way, if you would like Steve or one of Amapola or the group of them to come over and speak in front of your group, they'd love to do that. You can find out and sign up at golifa.com for that. And don't forget, for a $25 donation, you will get the excellent new book that Steve has put together called The Bible and Immigration. And if you want to take a great vacation over on the beach, just south of Daytona Beach, right on the beach on the Atlantic Ocean, they got a great deal for that, too. For a $2,500 donation, you get three-bedroom, two-bath condo?
Three-bedroom, three-bath, fully furnished for one whole week, overlooking a par-3 golf course in the Atlantic Ocean.
All you got to do is show up
all
over
yours.
There with some groceries, and you're all set. You're in heaven for a week. And they have several weeks available, so they can work with you on the scheduling of that. And if you want to get more than 1 week, they can work with you on that, too. And
They'll
even throw in a few copies of The Bible and Immigration.
We'll give you copies of the book to read, you know, when you're back in the condo at night. Yeah.
Be in the drawer next to the bed.
that right next to the Gideon Bible. We'll have the Bible and Immigration. It'll be right there.
And, of course, with the general election kicking in, it's more important than ever that we help Steve and Legal Immigrants for America get the word out and get people involved in this. Because this is the time when if we're going to be able to do something about it, this is going to be the time. Because we have somebody out there running who wants to solve this problem or address the problem in a serious fashion, running against someone whose policies will only ensure the problem gets far more complicated and far worse and far more difficult, maybe even impossible to deal with and solve. So the moment is now, right, Steve?
It's right now. That's it. It's, you know, as Elvis once said, it's now or never. Because here's the deal. The election is November 8th. And if the wrong person gets elected November 8th, a person that is pro-illegal immigration, pro-amnesty, pro-sanctuary cities, pro-Muslim immigrants refugees, coming in with no identification, all that sort of stuff. Yep. We're doomed as a nation. It's the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, you know, all over again. And, you know, don't come crying to me on November 9th if you're mad because the wrong person won that's going to continue to destroy this nation and allow more illegal immigration if you're not doing anything between now and November 8th. This is the time.
One question, Steve. The northern border, we never hear about that. You know, we always hear about the southern border. Is there any estimate, I mean, per month, how many people are flowing over? Or?
It's a lot less than the southern border, and I've seen numbers, but I don't remember specifically what the percentage
is. Is it dramatic, or is it not a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's very dramatic in terms of there's just so many more coming across the southern border than the northern border.
Right.
It's like at least 3 to 1, and maybe even higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, but I think you're right, Mike, in terms of what you say, where we do have to pay more attention to the northern border.
No one talks
border.
About well, the northern
well,
border.
Because think of it. If you're ISIS and you see that,
I've been
maybe
coming across the northern border.
Exactly.
I was going to say,
sneak in the back door.
The situation had been different because in Canada with the Royal Mounted Police, they don't mess around up there.
True.
Right?
True.
Okay,
right.
In Mexico, they mess around down there, right? So you it's know, a whole different...
$100 will get you whatever you want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You had a whole different, say, law enforcement environment. All right, but that's changing now
because we have a liberal premier.
And the refugees that they're taking in up there, right?
And they want to bring in a lot.
Exactly. And so that is definitely going to be developing into a huge problem for us, potentially, as we go forward here into the future. So it is definitely something we'll need to keep an eye on. But it's just going to complicate the problem if we don't get the right person in office. This past weekend, you know, the commencement speeches are being made around the country now, and Obama's got significant attention because it was more of the you didn't do it, you got where you are because you're lucky type thing, right?
Is that amazing he would make that statement?
Well, I know it certainly applies.
More of the same.
Just turned my stomach
preaching
when
the same
I heard
gospel
that.
But
he
it certainly applies to him.
I mean, that's, yeah, he, right. You know.
In a way, if you're him, you got to be
you're
thinking,
right. Yeah. It's me.
I'm only here because I'm one lucky SOB, right? So, John Kerry said something I thought that was more troubling concerning the issue we're talking about here, that the graduates he was talking to, he was describing their world in the future as being one with no borders. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
And as I recall, Kerry did that up at Northeastern University, which is up in my hometown of Boston.
Right.
And it's and you know, Kerry is just...
A world without borders.
You know, he's very lucky that he married into money. That's all I'll say. You know, I mean, he's got, you know, the Heinz 57 fortune there.
Right.
Because it's like, this guy is unbelievably dopey when it comes to that sort of stuff. For him to say something stupid like that,
but
it's scary in its stupidity.
Well, I would
for
say,
him to say that.
The stupidity was the fact that he openly said it in an open forum like that, because you got to believe that this is what they believe. This
he's
is what they
his
believe.
Colors. Exactly. Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah. He's not trying to hide it anymore.
Right. This is what they believe. Yeah. That we should have a world with no borders. And by the way, this is very Marxist. I mean, Marx gave very few predictions about what life would be under communism, right? He basically his excuse, if you will, or his reason was, how could I know? Because I don't live in that. I'm so far removed from it. It'd be tantamount to us trying to describe heaven, all right? To a Marxist, okay? So, but one of the characteristics of a true Marxist world would be no borders. The reason for states to have borders would no longer exist because everyone would be friendly. There would be no need for militaries. Everyone would have equality, and everybody, it's this utopian notion, you see, that they actually believe can be brought about.
Chris, are you just going to break into Kumbaya at
this
point?
Yeah, I'm going to say that.
This is the what I'm trying to say, though, is that this is pure Marxism that he is preaching.
Chris, here's my question in response to what you're saying. How'd that work out for the citizens of Paris and Brussels? How's that working out in the European Union?
It didn't
working
work out
okay?
Didn't work
not
out too well for
too
the
well.
Soviet Union either.
Absolutely.
But that's why it needs to be pointed out that this is not just whimsical. This is Marxism.
And it always fails and people die. It's that simple. And economies crash.
Indeed they do. All right. Well, one other thing that is inevitable is that time comes and it goes, and we're out of time tonight. Steve, once again, thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris.
And Steve will be back with us again next week. And once again, you can join LIFA by going to golifa.com, sign up there, or text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. Don't forget, that $25 donation will get you a copy of The Bible and Immigration. You can make a donation of any size, though. But if you want to go to the beach, make the $2,500 donation and get that condo. Night, everybody.